We have fathomed the distance between verse 1 and verse 6. And tonight we come to that marvelous, marvelous conclusion of this psalm. I have more than enjoyed studying through this psalm again and teaching through it. And prayerfully, it's been some kind of a blessing where you're concerned. We have, I don't know how many of the CDs we're sending out weekly. And now to a radio station down in Dothan, Alabama, that's just picked us up. Prayerfully, this will be a blessing to a multitude of people in days to come. Let's read together. You read silently. I'd rather it be that way personally. But read with me as we read this whole of the psalm again tonight. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Marvelous, marvelous passage. There are seven distinct things mentioned here that the shepherd does for the sheep. In verse number 1, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Then he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then in verse number 4, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And then thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Seven distinct things that the shepherd does for the sheep. Tonight, let's put our thinking cap on for a few moments and look at this last verse. Surely, that word surely is a strong word, and it means without any shadow of doubt, this is going to come to pass. Surely, goodness and mercy, two followers of the sheep. Paul speaks of the goodness of God leading us to repentance in chapter number 2 of the book of Romans. And he talks about the forbearance of God in the same verse. Goodness and forbearance. Here, goodness and mercy are brought before us. Now, they're not exactly the same word, but they have the same connotation both in the Old Testament, Psalm 23, and in Romans chapter 2. When Paul speaks of it, he says, these things lead us to repentance. Where the psalmist is speaking of these things, they lead us to glory, lead us to our heavenly home. Surely, without doubt, goodness. Now, goodness is the word tobe, T-O-B-E, tobe. And it literally means compassion and provisional care. God's compassion, God's provisional care. In the term goodness, we have everything God Almighty can possibly provide. Now think of that. Is there anything God cannot provide? Then everything we need is found in the goodness of God. Not only is goodness following us, but mercy. Mercy is God's pity. Pity with the desire to forgive. I love that very thought. Now you think about that. Goodness gives us everything God has. The whole book of Ephesians, Paul writes to tell us that everything God has is ours in Christ. Everything. Then we learn that mercy, throughout the scriptures, mercy, God's pity, but God's pity with the unction to forgive, to pardon our sins, if you will. So then all God has is mine, and God's pardon is mine. God pities me with the impetus to forgive me, and therefore these two things following me, how then could I but wind up in the fold when this thing is over? That is the thought of two sheepdogs. A good shepherd would have two sheepdogs. Now some of them were not well off enough to have two sheepdogs, and they used other things. But a good shepherd would have two sheepdogs, and those sheepdogs followed behind the flock as he went before the flock. And that's what is before us in this verse. Surely goodness and mercy. This goodness and this mercy will never leave us. Two sheepdogs. Now what do sheepdogs do? They keep the flock in line. Is that right? If the shepherd wants them in a single file, then the sheepdogs keep them in a single file. If he wants them spread out, then they keep them spread out. But not too far, because the sheepdogs learn that they are supposed to stay together. What do sheep do? Stray. Keep this in your mind for the rest of your life. Sheep stray. Profoundly. Sheep stray. When you think of sheep, you ought to think stray. Sheep stray. Shepherds find. And shepherds see to it that the sheep get to the fold at night. So goodness and mercy are part of what the shepherd uses to make sure that the sheep get into the fold. Now picture with me, please, a flock of sheep going down the road. One of them starts to run off to the side, and here comes goodness right up beside, and a little nip to the side of the little sheep, and back into line he goes. Another one gets out of the way, and here goes mercy, and a little nip or a bark, and back into line. Now you're getting a hold of this, some of you are. I can see it on your faces. But you see, God gives us goodness and mercy to keep us from straying for our pilgrimage. Let's get back to this reality. Sheep are literal pilgrims in this world. Saints are pilgrims in this world. Sheep are moving back and forth constantly, aren't they? We are pilgrims in this world. Some years ago, I was in a home, and over the fireplace, there was this statement. Some of you have seen it probably. Don't drive your tent pegs too deep. Now, a lot of folks don't have any idea what that means. But that means don't get too comfortable. We're not citizens of this world. Our citizenship is in another world. We're headed out of here. We're just here for the season. And goodness and mercy are present with us to make sure that we get to where the shepherd wants us to go. Isn't it a marvelous thing to let our minds just think for a moment that God has given us both goodness and mercy to go with us throughout this journey? How many of you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt alone? I mean, just felt like no one else in this world? We get this Elijah complex from time to time, don't we? And we think we're the only ones. But God kind of lets goodness and mercy snuggle up to us and remind us that we're not alone. He'll never leave us alone. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And goodness and mercy are present on a consistent basis to remind us that God hadn't forgotten us. He hasn't left us by ourselves. He hadn't just thrown us aside and said, "Hey, make it on your own." No, sir. Absolutely not. Goodness and mercy are present with us. Goodness and mercy shall. Is that a positive note? Very definitely. It's not that goodness and mercy may be there. Goodness and mercy are there whether you're needing of those particular things at this moment or no. But I don't know of the day that I've lived that I didn't need mercy. I didn't know the day that I've lived that I didn't depend on the goodness of God. And I don't think you have either. You may not think you have, but you've depended entirely upon the goodness of God on a daily basis and the mercy of God on a daily basis. We need those provisions that God gives us in His goodness. Brother Gary was speaking a few moments ago about the rain. Well, the rain comes because of the goodness of God. And I am a forgiven soul because of the mercy of God. God's pity with this reality of forgiveness. Pardon, if you will. So in mercy I am pitied and pardoned. Glory. Surely, goodness and mercy. Not our mercy. Surely goodness and mercy, both of the sheepdogs, shall follow. That word follow means to come behind me like a hound, hounding me, if you will, to make sure that we stay in line. I often think of how people try to equate Christianity with a multitude of other so-called religions. There's just no way to do that, folks. Christianity does not equate with any other religion. God, in bringing us salvation, has by Himself redeemed us and for His name's sake secured us and by goodness and mercy has assured us that we're going to get home. Goodness and mercy hounds us along the way. That's where that picture of the sheepdog comes in there, because of the word that's used here in following. Hounds us to make sure that we don't get out of the way. Can you imagine the goodness of God? You say, well, the goodness of God, surely the goodness, it's good of God to bring correction to us. Whether it be the kind of correction that we only can know or that others can know. I remember when Dad would correct us, it wasn't something that the whole county would know anything about, but everybody in the holler knew it. And if it was Gary or I that was being corrected, Jerry made sure that everybody found out it about school next day. But if Jerry got it, no one knew about it. He wouldn't tell about his correcting, but he always told about our correcting. Guess what Dad done to Larry last night? Guess what Dad done to Gary last night? Go ask Him. Correcting, God correcting us is good for us. One of the greatest things, and I don't want to labor this because I've said it before, but please listen to this. One of the greatest things that will ever happen to you is a correcting arm of God coming out toward you. I have never based my salvation on a verse of Scripture. The devil knows verses of Scripture. I've never based it on a feeling, because feelings change from moment to moment. But I'll tell you what I have based it on. My sonship is declared because my Father takes me to the woodshed once. How about that? Now, we don't like to think, oh, I want to believe this verse of Scripture. I've got a verse of Scripture. Well, let me tell you something. The devil has a verse of Scripture. And every heathen up and down this highway out here tonight has a verse of Scripture. You just go start talking to them, knocking on doors and ask them, oh, I've got a verse of Scripture. John 3:16 is my favorite verse. I've claimed it. Has God ever took you to the woodshed? What are you talking about? Hello? Now we're getting down to brass tacks, aren't we? The Bible declares, Hebrews chapter number 12 declares, that He chastens every son that He receiveth. And if you're without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastard and not son. So if you haven't been to the woodshed, I'd check up on my pedigree real quick. God takes His young'uns to the woodshed. God corrects us. Goodness corrects us. Mercy forgives us. Wipes the slate clean. And all of this is done under a cloud of grace. God operates from the cloud of grace through His mercy, through His goodness, through His forbearance, through His long-suffering, through His love, His compassion, and so on. All of these things flow out of the cloud of grace. But goodness and mercy, the two sheepdogs, will always be with us to the end of the way. Now watch how this thing ends. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Do you realize that if you had nothing more than Psalm 23, that Psalm 23 would assure you that you're saved eternally? Don't you wonder where these folks fell off the log? Don't you really wonder where in the world they came from? Where their theology comes from? Of course, I know. It's burped out of hell and they believe it. When God saves you, honey, He's done something for you that He has done for you, and Satan can't undo what God has done. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Every day, Monday through Sunday, He's following me with goodness and mercy. So I don't feel like He's with me today. Well, just kind of get out of line, you'll find out. Got to step off to the side. You find out where goodness and mercy are. Always be with us. There will never be a day, all the days of my life, the good days and the bad days, the days when I feel bad, the days when I feel good, the days when I feel mean. Hello? Did you ever just get to feeling mean sometimes? Huh? So I didn't know a preacher could do that. I feel mean every day. I do. There's enough of this world to make me angry enough to where I want to kick the walls down. I get so angry with the garbage that's going on, it just absolutely turns me inside out. And I'm not sure that I can be angry and sin not. But I know this. I know goodness and mercy are always with me. Well, brother, how you know that? Because God promised me it'd be so. God promised me it'd be so all the days of my life. And I shall dwell. That word dwell is an ever-present positional standing in heaven. That means any day you want to look for me, I'll be there. A million years from today, if you come looking for Larry, guess where we're going to find him? In the house of the Lord. Not somewhere else, in the house of the Lord. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever! Forever! We've gone from a little sheep talking to another sheep and talking about his shepherd to being in heaven for eternity. We've gone from a little conversation out here in the field to being in glory in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. In six verses. Boy, that's traveling, isn't it? That is traveling. That's getting on your horse and getting on down the road. Two little sheep. One says to the other, the Lord is my shepherd. And then when he winds it up six verses later, he says, and I'm going to dwell in his house. Not in a fold, I'm going to dwell in his house. I'm moving out of the fold and I'm moving into the big house. How about that? Not going to stay in the barn, I'm moving up to the big house. Not going to stay in the servants' quarters, I'm moving up to the big house. The promise of God is that he's going to take his sheep and through goodness and mercy following us, bring us into the big house in days to come. And we're going to stay there. The whole duty of man is to worship God and enjoy him forever. When we stop and think about it, the whole duty of God is to save man and enjoy him forever. How about that? God's purpose is to save us and to enjoy us forever. Enjoy our worship. Enjoy our singing. Enjoy our presence. And then what about us? To love God, to worship God, and enjoy Him forever. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord
forever.
Now, I could tell you more about the house of the Lord, not necessarily tell you that, just going to tell you you're going to be there. And you're going to be there so assured that you're going to be there that God has put His seal on it. I say to you once again, it is the shepherd's responsibility to get the sheep into the fold. And God, in this very passage, has taken the responsibility of making sure by putting the sheepdogs behind us that we get into the house and live there for hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I think it's shouting time. Amen. Psalm 23, six little verses, and six of the most powerful little verses in your Bible. We read them, we quote them, and we never realize the depth. And I promise you that I haven't reached the depth of these verses. But oh, what a glorious reality that the shepherd has taken on the responsibility of making sure that we get in. Our journey's not going to wind up somewhere short of glory. You put that down. Our journey will wind up in the Father's house, because the Father's name is at stake, and goodness and mercy are there to make sure we get in home.
Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no
are bombarded by beckoning voices and our world is polluted with sound. Lord, let us hear you. In a land dissected and muddled by mazes of roads and never-ending highways, Lord, help us find your way. In a world of easy promises, empty guarantees, and quick claim insurance policies, give us the security of your hand, Lord Jesus. At a time when we are confused by conflicting authorities that would tell us how to manage our marriages, our finances, and our children. Oh, Lord Jesus, show us your way. As we walk the tight ropes of parenthood in these explosive days, training our little ones to live in a world for which there are no precedents, Lord, we just need you in all things, gentle shepherd. Help us find the way.
There's no other.